Radio Texas Live. I'm Buddy Logan and the legendary Cody Canada on with us tonight. How you doing, Cody?
I'm good, man. Legendary. That's weird to hear.
Oh, come on, dude. You hear that everywhere you go. You hear that everywhere you go.
I think we should change that to obnoxious.
I'll stick with legendary. I'll let your wife use obnoxious.
Okay, cool.
That'll work. So you guys are hanging in there. The family had a run in with COVID, kept you out of Music Fest.
Yeah, we had to bow out. We've done pretty good to avoid it, even with the School of Rock.
And everybody's hanging in there, doing strong, healthy.
Yep.
What was your streak of Music Fest? You know, how many consecutive years had you been?
This would have been last year. Actually, would have been my 19th, and this year would have been my 20th.
Wow, that's a lot. You haven't missed one. You haven't missed one in 20 years, or you hadn't missed one in 20 years.
I haven't missed one. I called John Dixon and told him that I was. He knew in my voice. And I just said, hey, buddy. He goes, hey. I said, man, it got through the door and I can't do it. And he told me, he's like, well, you're doing the right thing. And he said, I had an award for you. And I was like, well, I figured it was probably the 20th anniversary. So I'll pick it up next year.
Do we know who has the record for most consecutive Music Fests? I'm thinking like maybe Krager or Jack Ingram.
I think it's Krager. Well, it ain't Jack.
He missed out on a lot. Yeah.
He's canceled a lot of them.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's Krager. I think he might have like 22 or 3.
Wow. Roger Krager, we think, has the record for most Music Fest, consecutive Music Fest appearances. Thank you so much for your time, man. Always a pleasure.
You got it, man. I'm just hanging at the house today. Just
hanging out.
A lot going on.
So I was checking out your Facebook page and you posted a picture with Bob Saget, who passed away recently. Of course, everybody loved Bob Saget. Danny Tanner, America's Funniest Home Videos. Did you know him or did you guys just kind of snap a picture one night?
I didn't know him. I did I actually hung out with him quite a bit that night. I met him in Chicago. I did the Windy City Smokeout with Dierks Bentley.
Nice.
We had done a run with Dierks and there was like 24,000 people at that gig. And man, I turned around and I said, I really think that's Bob Saget. And I really hate to be that guy, but we have to go get a picture. I mean, when are we going to get this chance again? And I even thought, I don't care if he's a jerk.
Right.
I just want to get a picture. Walked over to him and I didn't introduce myself or anything. I said, I think that you were the best of the Aristocrats. I don't know if you've seen the Aristocrats. And he turned around and said, man, that was a good show. I was like, well, thank you. And he said, Gen Z tried to cancel me because of that. I'm not surprised. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do these days without
trying to get canceled. Yeah.
But he was very nice, very sweet. And you know, just like I said, very accommodating.
Nice. Now, I'm going to have to check out The Aristocrats. Is it just like it's a documentary? Is it a comedy special?
It's a comedy documentary. Yeah. I think it's on Netflix.
All right. I'm going to look into that.
It's, you know, yeah. Make sure the kids and the faint of heart are out of the room because it's vulgar, man.
Cody, I was looking up some stuff and I mean, I've had you on the show. I don't know how many times, countless times over the past 10 plus years. I did not know this though, until just about 30 minutes ago. Your sons are named Dierks and Willie, but I did not know it was Dierks Cobain Canada and Willie Vedder. Dude, you guys are coming in strong with the flex on names. I had no idea. Never seen that before.
Yeah. When Dierks was, as I say, cooking in the oven, there were several names that we first names, but Cobain was always the middle name if he was going to be a boy. And same with Willie. But, you know, me and my wife are children of the 90s. You know, we were, that movement of music was just as important as the 70s rock and roll. I felt like I was at the perfect age. You know, I was 13. My parents had just split. So I was I wanted to break things. You know, I wanted to be destructive and I was into rock and roll, and this gave me an opportunity. You know, I mean, it was like punk, but with better lyrics,
right,
and more sober, thought out playing,
and good melodies. Yeah,
yeah, melodies, and so there was no doubt. I mean, between Nirvana and Pearl Jam, I mean, I feel like it sculpted my trajectory in music as much as Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson did. There was no doubt that they were going to be named after some rockers.
So Dierks Cobain is really getting into performing. He's got his band. Two-part question for you, Cody Canada. What's the best part about Dierks following in your footsteps? And what's the worst part about him following in your footsteps?
The best part is actually watching, hearing my influence. You know, that sounds really brash and cocky, but, you know, I haven't been a part of his training, you know, just he'll always get up and jam with me and whatever, but he's really taught himself. But to hear him do it, like we played in Tulsa a few weeks ago and he went off in his solo and his mom just looked at me and was like, I know that was my attack. And we call him Heavy Hand because his right hand is just monstrous.
Nice.
So Willie's been in the band for a year and they immediately got these songs down to the best that they could do. And then we went to a studio and they whipped the record out in 2 days. So that's going to come out before the month's over. The worst part, hopefully, huh? The 28th. Okay. January 28th is when the record comes out. That's what Willie's telling me.
Nice.
I don't know. There hasn't been a worst part yet. They're good kids. There hasn't been a downside yet. So hopefully it stays that way.
Awesome. Well, next, I'll ask you the question again next time. And hopefully there's still okay. No answer. All right, Cody. I want to get into the re-record of Soul Gravy. And we're also going to debut your new single, If You Want It That Much. But first, I want to play Coach tribute to Ragweed tonight. Of course, everybody knows it. And it's got to be wild enough for you when bands are singing about you, like you used to sing about your heroes. But how wild is it to see, and maybe you haven't seen this yet, but it's wild for me to see it. How wild is it to see Co's youngest fans not even realize who Ragweed was?
it's pretty crazy. I actually did an opening spot for him 2019, just right down the street from my house at Whitewater Amphitheater. Uh-huh. And we had a good response. You know, the folks knew some of the key songs, but, you know, I dug a little deep into the B-sides. And of course, you know, we do Boys from Oklahoma and everybody knows it. And you can see the light switch flick on with some of them.
Right.
But the funniest thing of it is I went to Walmart in New Braunfels to get decorations for the school, Halloween decorations.
Uh-huh.
And this guy walked up, this kid walked up. He was my kid's age. And he walked up and he goes, "Dude, you're the guy that opened for Co." and then we were walking out and Willie said, does that bother you? He's like, "Hell no, that doesn't bother me. That's awesome." You know, I mean, you know, I didn't know who Robert Earl Keen was until Robert Earl Keen was probably 43 years old.
Right.
And now he's my favorite, you know, and from that point on, he was my favorite of the scene. So, no, I love it.
Cody, Ragweed's 10th and final album, Happiness and All the Other Things, it was released in 2009. Last year at Music Fest, we got the Ragweed tribute album. And this year, Cody, we are getting the highly anticipated re-record of Soul Gravy, which was the second studio album from cross-Canadian Ragweed. And your famous Sick and Tired duet partner, Leanne Womack, will be singing with you on some of it at least, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was one of the first people that I reached out to, and I called her and said, "I really don't think I can do this without you." And she said, "Well, I've been telling you for years that anytime you need me." So she was in Ray Wiley. I asked him to split Rock and Roll with me. Randy Rogers is always more than happy to help out. He's a good buddy on the song that we wrote. So we dove in, and the backstory of Soul Gravy is we were so busy. I built these songs, wrote these songs, most of them on my own. I think there was a couple that were songs, friends of ours. And I love recording friends songs if it feels right.
Mm-hmm.
So I built this catalog of tunes for this record. And there's not one song on that record that I was not happy with, but I was unhappy with the recording because we got off the road. We came from a gig and pulled into the studio and started recording. And Mike McClure, they just come out with those Line 6 pods. And you can get any sound you want out of this pod. It sounds like any amp. You can sound like yourself. You can sound like Eddie Van Halen. And McClure wanted to use these because we didn't have to load gear into the studio. So I got to go in this time in my own studio on my own time with 25 different amplifiers and 4 different bass rigs. And
all the amps you could find.
Yeah, vintage drum kits and time. It was really fun and relaxed, and there was nobody breathing down our necks. And I got to do these songs the way that I felt like they should be done. It really has turned into, I feel like it's a redemption. I know everybody loved that record. Most people that I've talked to, I know your story behind it.
Yeah, I love it.
But I really felt like I redeemed the record just in my own mind.
Cody, re-recording Soul Gravy, iconic Ragweed album. Was this inspired by Taylor Swift's re-records?
Yes, because of Taylor Swift and what she did with, let me back up.
Okay.
So when Ragweed split, I wanted merchandise to sell on the road. And I called them and I talked to somebody that had no idea who I was. We'd been there for 5 records. And I said, you know, this is Cody and I need to get some of those box sets to sell. She goes, okay, they'll be $35 a piece. I said, I'm not paying a penny for my own music. She goes, well, that's how it is. You know, I mean, you know, those albums belong to Universal Recording Group. So I just hung up mad and sad and let it be. So years went by and I have this giant endless supply of probably 300,000 records, CDs that aren't going anywhere because CDs aren't moving, but I don't have any vinyl. Well, it come time to, I wanted to repress. Well, with the Ragweed lawsuit agreement, I can't reproduce anything. So when the same thing happened to Taylor Swift, that's when I thought, well, if she can do it, I can do it.
Yes. Yes.
I'm pretty sure I don't have the bank account or the lawyers that she has, but I mean, I can get away with this. So
the precedence has been set.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I reached out and asked some of the folks in Nashville if, you know, I didn't want to get rolling on this and get shut down. So they said, go for it.
Cody Canada on with us, the re-record of Soul Gravy. We're looking at what kind of release date on this?
I would say probably March.
March-ish?
Probably March.
Okay. All right. We'll be on the lookout for it. I'm excited to hear it. Let's do it, Cody. The brand new single, If You Want It That Much. And it's just kind of a one-off thing. It's not included on the, of course, Soul Gravy re-release. It's not going to be a part of any Departed album, I don't think.
It's not going to be a part of Soul Gravy for sure. I've been kicking the idea around for years, like the last 3 or 4 years about, do I do a record? Do I just do singles? And a lot of folks that I have talked to in the radio said, just do singles because the attention span, I mean, it's just not there anymore. But I mean, if we do a record, I'm going to release the 4 singles that I have done in the last year and add some more to it.
Stay tuned on that one. But definitely happening, the re-release of Soul Gravy in the next couple months. We're looking at March, maybe April, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's going to be, I don't know about CDs, but I know it's going to be on vinyl and digital download.
Nice. Tell us about the new single, If You Want It That Much.
This is one of those ones that I was talking earlier about my friends. I heard this song, 2000.
Oh, wow.
I think it came out about the first year of Ragweed. And then, and I'd heard this song one night. It's like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. You know, I mean, it has a line in it that says, I make my guardian angel work harder than yours. I thought that's the best thing I've ever heard written. I wanted to record it and it really just kind of slipped my mind. But this is one of the ones that I said, I think we got to do it. I think just for my own well-being and just to finally do something I said I've been going to do for 20 years.
Let's do it. Cody Canada, new single, If You Want It That Much, featuring your pal Jeremy Plato and Mason Morris from Co-Wetzel on this one as well. New Cody Canada. Cody, thank you so much for your time, man. Always good catching up.
Thank you, brother.